hear that?
No.
This is madness.
No.
With 900 years old, you reach for the good you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
Little short for a stormtrooper.
We are what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and the entire crew is back together.
Woo!
We don't have to put the crew together. We're not looking for a crew. We are ready. We've got everyone here. We didn't have Chris and Ryan last week. Chris, you've been off for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like there's a lot of hot and fresh coming out of you that you need to get off your chest right now.
I think that just depends.
Whoa.
On how big your pocketbook is. That's just evidence that I listened to the episodes that I wasn't on.
Which we do require, just for our listeners, we do actually require that Chris prove he listened.
Because exactly.
As you know, if you've been listening from the beginning, you know we've had problems in the past.
What I usually do is I'll take a picture of that day's newspaper while I'm listening, postmark it in an envelope and mail it to myself, and then have them open it in front of me just to make sure that I listened to it.
I got to tell you, I love those button up boys. I listened to it. I listened to it with a very high grade fever and my body shaking, and I still loved every second of it.
And I started seeing them in the room that I was listening to it in.
It's really the way we would prefer everyone listen to Sam and I doing a podcast, is as high a fever as possible.
Yeah, just oscillating between being absolutely freezing and just sweating through your shirt.
Right.
It was a great way to listen to the
pod. I think
pod.
That perfectly describes Sam and I, really.
Screaming.
I don't know what that means.
Wow. Yeah,
I know exactly what it means.
A couple of years ago, I had the I got the flu real bad. This was probably like 2014, maybe? 2014, 2015.
Oh, yeah. It was going around that year.
Okay, Chris. And I remember I was out of work for, I think, like 3 days in a row, because I just like was basically bedridden. I was like only eating. I like made Jell-O. I just made like 4 boxes of Jell-O like it was my only meal. But I just watched movies that were on Netflix. Like, I didn't buy or rent any new movies. I just watched like whatever was streaming. And so I had one day where I watched a bunch of Star Trek episodes, like TOS episodes. I watched the remake of Rescue Dawn. I watched Barbarella, which like the Jane Fonda space like sex movie.
Yeah.
And oh man, what was the Copland.
And I
went to bed.
Chewbacca. Chewbacca. I get it out of my ear. I was supposed to be a cop. No, I'm just a cop for the cops.
And I went to bed, and I had the most crazy, like, hallucinated fever dreams that I've ever had, where I was like, I kept waking up throughout the night, like, convinced that I was in a pod on, like, a spaceship. Like, I was, like, treating my bed like it was a spaceship. I wouldn't move my arms or legs. Because I was like in like a capsule, but yeah.
Hey, fever. Sam, I got.
I didn't have a pod to get me through it, you know.
Hey, Sam,
you're
I
got
to tell you, I was your roommate at that time, and that wasn't Jell-O. Sorry, was cleaning the apartment, and you grabbed the wrong bowl.
I got to tell you, I was for 3 days straight. I just thought to myself, "Am I sick enough to watch the Mortal Engines?" But I thought, no, I want to be well for this.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Oh, nice.
I would check that
proud
out.
Proud sponsor of the pod, Mortal Engines. Thank you.
I can't be. It's got to be.
This is
Peter better.
Jackson, and I want you to watch my new film, The Mortal Engines.
It's
Gandalf
be.
Is a big hit.
Peter, can you plug the pod for us?
I'll do a station ID. This is Peter Jackson, and you listen. To the droids you're looking for, Star Wars podcast.
And
Peter has been drinking.
Big listenership in New Zealand, and to that we thank you for your continued listening.
Hello to all my Kiwis.
Those listeners are definitely
back
gone.
To Ryan, sick of sharing a mic.
I also want to just give a shout out real quick to all of our listeners in Old Zealand.
Oh.
Top of the morning evening to you.
Huh.
Never.
You know, I heard, I heard New Zealand.
We got the whole crew back, huh?
I heard New Zealand had been, you know, left off a lot of maps around the world.
Oh, that's right. That's very funny.
Old Zealand clearly has also been left off, so.
That's very funny.
Someone needs to correct
topical.
Man, the jokes are really running on fumes at this point.
Glad the whole gang.
Well, let's
back,
let's tease
guys.
What's up on this this edition of the pod. For those of you who have stuck with us here, you will find out a lot about the Galaxy's Edge. We have a lot of new information to share. Honestly, too much for one podcast. We might have to break this one up into a three-parter. There's so much information about Galaxy's Edge.
Kind of like episode 9. About.
Yep, kind of like episode 9, Chris, when the Falcon goes down. In
oh, come
nine,
on.
Part 3.
Or like my friend's movie, The Hobbit.
They're dueling Jacksons now? This is great.
No, I'm just his childhood friend, Mike.
Mike.
Which is also the name of someone already on the podcast.
That makes it really confusing.
I'm very confused.
Don't get us mixed up. I'm Mike B.
Are you related? Are you
you know, Sam?
Are you related to the Spice Girl whose last name
that's
is
That's what
B?
I was going to say. It's like Mel B.
Sam. I do know Mel B. And also, I have some friends from Mel B. On across the water.
Oh, my God.
I am revoking your buttoned-up boy status.
Yeah. Yeah, last week was like a Wall Street podcast. This week, it's like...
We gotta get it all out. Everything that's been buried and bottled up has finally come out.
I miss my boogies. What can I say?
Also coming up, hot and fresh with Chris. We've missed them over the last few weeks. Some of us have. Others may have not. We'll talk about that. And Chris is going to bring down the house with his hot and fresh. He has promised everyone that. And a big announcement from Ryan.
Ooh, buckle up, guys.
Is he taking his talents to another podcast? God, I hope.
Whoa. Whoa. Is that a teaser? Do you know something? I don't know this.
It's a big announcement.
We're going to have to find out. But until we do, follow us on social media. Twitter Droids Pod, Instagram Droids Pod, Facebook The Droids Podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. Tell a friend. Go out on a street corner and yell about the droids. We would greatly appreciate it. Send us a voice memo. Anything you can record on your phone. Send us an email. droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know if you're enjoying some of these tangents. Maybe you do not like a buttoned-up podcast. Mm-hmm. I understand. Let us know in the emails.
If you
as well
do
as on
go
social
out,
media.
If you do go out to a street corner and just start yelling, please record that. That would be really fun to watch.
Can I also it might jump? It might be good from a legal standpoint to have it recorded.
Yeah. Just okay. I'll tell you what. I'm just gonna
do it. Thing too. Anybody who's writing in, if you are already following us, thanks. And if you have any requests for characters, we've been lately posting a series of some character paintings from throughout the series. So I would love to hear who people want to see more of.
Sam very sweetly said, too. "We." Sam, I mean, you are the mastermind.
Sam has been
these.
Doing beautiful work over there.
It's incredible.
I have been doing it. I've been doing the drawings. This was not. Now I'm uncomfortable. This was not. This is not a plea for.
Okay,
a phrase.
Sam. Visit Sam on Etsy. Etsy.com/Sam.
That's also, not. Don't go also, there. I don't know.
Also, just re-colon my big announcement coming up. If
re-colon.
You like, if you like disappointment,
re-colon.
You can go ahead and get excited.
Are you saying
if you love disappointment? Go right ahead and start.
Are you saying
excited.
We should start getting really excited now because we will be soon disappointed by the end of
start
this episode?
Start getting really excited if you like disappointment.
That should be our guarantee at the beginning of each episode. It's like, by the end of this podcast, you will be disappointed at least once.
By the end of this podcast, an hour will have gone by.
We can guarantee that.
We can guarantee that we will set a bar too high for ourselves to reach.
And if we don't do that, we'll just fill the rest of the hour up with dead space.
You know, I try to convince people to listen to this podcast. I try to promote it. And
so sorry.
You throw it all away.
I'm so sorry.
Now, if Ryan, you wanted to open up Etsy.com/Ryan, and that was the announcement, I'd be on board there.
But. Ooh, and then you guys should do one together. It's just Etsy.com/Ryan and Sam.
Etsy.com/Ryan. It's a collection of embroidered framed knittings of lyrics to the songs I've written for the show.
Yeah. Custom artwork.
Embroidered framed knittings. Can anyone tell I was reaching?
That's pretty good. You were like, it literally sounded like you were looking around the room. You're like, embroidered, framed, knittings. There it is.
I'm surrounded by embroidered pillows and framed pillows.
The greatest trick that Ryan ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
With that, let us begin the Galaxy's Edge conversation. There is so much information, as I said. We could break this up into multiple podcasts. We will try to get all out in one. We've done an earlier podcast about Galaxy's Edge rumors. A lot of it has been confirmed. I'll go through some of the information, and then we can all react to it. First thing I want to say is that we know the Falcon has been built, and it's part of Galaxy's Edge. It is listed at over 100 feet long and probably 25 feet high. Now, Chris, from your specifications and what you built, how accurate is the version we're going to see at Galaxy's
Edge? Well, actually, in real life, so that model, that's about four times the size of the actual one, if I'm doing the math correctly. And I know my math skills. And the Star Wars universe, everyone's very small, is kind of what I... You don't realize.
Lilliputian heroes.
Exactly.
I also read, I don't know if we have this in the rundown, but there's a exclusive club called like D23 at Disney World, you know, where like very rich people go. And that apparently there's like a secret hotel room in the Magic Kingdom that you could stay if you're a member of D23. It's like Walt's like special room. And if you stay there, apparently at night, after the park closes, they let you take the Falcon for a spin.
That's amazing. I know
they've established a no-fly zone over Celebration Florida, and you can take it.
It actually works. And George Lucas is in it.
Fully functioning Falcon.
Do you think George Lucas is just like going to be caught like walking around it at night? Like, George, get out of here. He's like,
I think George Lucas will decidedly not be caught dead there.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be there for the opening. You know that they bring him out for everything. Every new film, he's always there. He'll be brought. He'll be there.
Can you imagine that for the rest of your life, there's one place you can go to that everyone would just like praise you? Like, you could go there. He'd just be feeling sad. Like, I'm going to go down to the Star Wars land. Yeah. And then, like, everyone would praise him.
If we've learned anything from The Last Jedi, the reaction to the prequels, people will still go and experience Galaxy's Edge even if they hated the prequels, and so they'd probably still yell at him even though they're there for a Star Wars experience.
Unclear, though. People, there's definitely something going on. Like, you know, we kind of touched on it, and I don't know if it was last week or one of the recent pods, but just the sort of, you know, people being emboldened by you know, hiding behind a keyboard thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's again, it's nothing new that we're saying, but it's like, I do, you know, it would be cool, Chris, like to your point, to the idea that like that land exists as like a place, like if I put myself, if I imagine myself in George Lucas's shoes, first of all, they're too big. But second of all, if like just like walking around the park and being like, oh yeah, everything here at one point or another like came out of my brain or was made like honor of that
like
thing.
Like this came out of my brain.
I have to imagine. I mean, you know, we're in our own little bubble here recording our podcast, but I mean, we might go to Galaxy's Edge and find out what it is to be adored, you know?
Oh wow, yeah.
Are Ryan those the droids you're looking for?
Oh, wait, Ryan, did you say adored or arrested?
All I'm saying is we might be Star Wars famous. We don't know.
We don't know. That would be the amazing thing. It's like you had a million listeners this whole time.
Did you hear those four goons talking over there? They sound really familiar.
I recognize that voice.
I don't know.
You know what gets me excited about the... So, do we have a timeline of when Galaxy's Edge takes place in the Star Wars universe? Have they said that?
Well, this will be... Nothing official at this point, but it is technically after Episode 8. likely before episode 9.
Okay.
And the reason why is
well, because the Falcon will be there.
Yeah, the Falcon will be there.
That's
still
what. That's what's getting me worried. I felt at ease knowing that the Falcon was there. If the assumption was this takes place after all the movies, then I'm like, you know what? They're not going to have that big a story faux pas. The Falcon survived. It's there.
Well, do you think though, like maybe the fireworks show every night? You know, Disney usually has a fireworks show every night at 9. They blow the Falcon up.
Oh no.
At Disney, we rebuild the Millennium Falcon every morning.
Well, there's a lot more information that can illuminate some of this for you, Chris, and for all of us, just in the details that were provided, because we'll find out a little bit more. And the reason why I say this is we know that some of our characters that we know and love and their current status between 8 and 9 is how they're going to be portrayed in Galaxy's Edge. So Poe Dameron will be back. Rey, Finn, and Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren will still be the bad guy. It's not going to be the version of Kylo, whatever happens to him at the end of episode 9, redemption or death. You know, seems like those are the only two options. Might be something else I'm not thinking of.
Victory.
Well, it's usually redemption. It's usually redemption and then death.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know. We also don't know how those rides end, too. They could be carrying out a part of the story. So maybe
I think they end with you signing an NDA.
So my guess is that episode 9 is going to leave off on a cliffhanger and go, like, finish the rest of the story at Disney's Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, how mad would everyone be about that?
Oh, my God. I almost want them to do it just to see what the internet does.
You mean I have to go to an amusement park and enjoy myself to finish this thing?
The reason that we are here, though, talking about this is because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and Disney let in actual members of the media. So there's a number of different pieces you can read online. You can read from Jermaine Lucier on IO9. Entertainment Weekly has a feature. I think there was something from ABC News. So a lot of content that you can go and dive into to read even more about what we're going to talk about here in the next 30 or 40 minutes.
You know who's really upset, though?
Who's
Peter
that?
Cerretta.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're in the same boat as he is. I don't know how we were overlooked. Why weren't we invited?
Yeah, we also say nice things about The Last Jedi, and we're not invited.
I mean, we are invited. We just have to wait and pay a lot of money to go.
Oh, sorry. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm checking the Droids Pod email right now. It went to spam. It's from Kathy. Again, this keeps happening. It's from Kathy. Man. You guys, we missed it. All right, well.
I think
I'll send her something back. I'll tell her that we'll follow up soon.
Yeah.
I think we lost our chance to get Peter on the pod. That's not happening now.
Yeah.
You don't think we could land Peter Cerretta now?
No.
No. That is a bummer.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the overall impressions that people had as they took away from going and experiencing Galaxy's Edge. As we've talked about multiple times, there were rumors. Some of it's been confirmed. This is an entirely immersive world. This is what I've been saying throughout, and it was inspired by a couple different areas where it's all about being immersed in Batuu, Black Spire Outpost. Everything is meant to feel like it's real, that when you're in the world, everything is as if it was actually on the planet. You are not going to see Disney apparel. You're not going to see anything with Star Wars written on it, because obviously in the world of Star Wars, you don't see anything that says Star Wars. You're not going to have John Williams' score playing anywhere in the park except on the rides. So you will not have this fourth wall breaking experience. It's meant to be whole in the way you walk through everything and that you get to see it as if you were actually on that planet, which is an incredible thing for them to try to accomplish. We've said before, obviously, with the number of guests and this wall-to-wall, shoulder-to-shoulder experience you're going to have, it's going to be hard to feel like you're actually losing yourself on this planet. But there will be a one-to-one X-Wing. There'll be a one-to-one scale A-Wing, TIE Fighter, AT-ATs. There'll be a new TIE Fighter from Episode 9 called the Echelon that will be in this as well that you'll find and be able to see. So all of that combined with a one-to-one Millennium Falcon, this is all going to be at a point where you can see it because they're setting everything up on kind of a higher level. I mentioned that the Millennium Falcon is 25 feet high. The reason why is so that you can see it over all the other crowds that you will be surrounded by, so that you don't walk up and be like, oh, I can't get a great picture of the X-Wing because there's too many people. If they put it up on a little bit of a riser, you can get to it and have a picture that you want to take home and remember.
Uh-huh.
So
smart. I'm so excited.
That is the first overall impression. I'm going to go through the rides. We've talked about Smuggler's Run before, Rise of the Resistance. Details that came out of this, and I know, Ryan, your ears were burning when this came out. Hondo is an animatronic unlike any other at Disneyland and Disney World. The second most complex animatronic of all time, according to the Disney Imagineers.
Wow. Did they say next what the first to, is?
Yeah, the Avatar Navi.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's crazy.
So with that in mind, Hondo is there because he has bargained with Chewbacca to use the Falcon for smuggling goods, and he needs a crew. He's putting together a crew. It just happens to be you, and that's how you get in a position where you are going to be flying the Falcon with five other people in your group. So the entire idea is Hondo will set you up and say, the more you work together, the more you earn on this smuggly run. Your lives and my profit depend on it, is the quote from Hondo.
So he made a deal with Chewie?
Somehow
I don't
Chewie,
buy it.
After the death of Han, allowed
yeah.
How
Hondo
desperate is Chewie? Come on, can't,
well, you know
like,
what it is, though? There's an obvious connection. You have Han and you have Hondo, so it's kind of...
Oh, he's confused. He's confused.
He might have been like, wait a second. Chewie's old.
No, it would be wild if instead of going with the new canon, they went with the extended universe canon, and like every hour and a half, they had a show where we watched Chewie get squashed by a moon.
Oh,
that'd be crazy. And they're like, and now we like see like every like 2 hours they have a ceremony where we watch Luke and Mara Jade get married.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Mark Hamill's there saying how that's what should have happened.
Hey, you know my opinion on Hondo. I'm not quite sure why he is the animatronic they decided to make, because the majority of people who will be coming through Galaxy's Edge will not know who Hondo is. For the hardcore fans, it's going to work out great. For a lot of other people, they're going to not understand why Hondo instead of, say, maybe Chewbacca or any other character that is from the original trilogy is
like,
not
like, did they prominent. They not have enough money in the budget to make a few animatronics?
Well, also, if Chewbacca was just there talking, then I think it could be a little confusing. Like, wait a second. Oh, that's what he meant.
We don't all speak Wookiee? I'm surprised. Yeah,
if he, I'm so or, sorry. Like, if he's here, how is he in the movie? You know? Right. In the movie, of, yeah. he in never goes con- to yeah. Florida.
In terms of the confusion,
well, you're
though,
not
Mike,
in Florida. You're on Batuu.
Mike, I respect your commitment.
In terms of the confusion, Mike, you're talking about with, like, the use of Hondo and, like, the lack of familiarity, like, I do think that a big part of this, obviously, this attraction is, you know, it's a draw for families, and I think there's probably a higher percentage of that population that's going to have some exposure to the animated series than just a wider population that's maybe, you know, fans who, you know, haven't had kids yet or don't have families younger families, you know? So I think that might offset a bit of it. And also, I mean, this is right out of Disney's playbook. I mean, it's all like integrated marketing basically. So you're going to, if you don't know who Hondo is, you're going to get a little backstory and you're going to go, that ride was incredible. That guy was fun. Oh, wait, he's on a series? I gotta go check this guy out, like, see what his deal is. And then you know, go and spend whatever on, you know, iTunes or you know, the Disney, I guess it won't be that, it'll be the Disney streaming service by then, right?
Should be. I don't know if I see it the same way. I don't know if Hondo is the best foot forward to get you into any extended properties.
It should have been Rex.
Fair enough.
Should have been Rex.
Rex will definitely...
I just got a glimpse when Mike said we're not going to be in Florida, we're going to be in Batuu. I had this flash forward of us, you know, in the park all together saying like, oh, like, do we want to head back to the hotel for a little bit and relax? And Mike saying, what's a hotel?
And they'd be like, oh boy, this meal is sure pretty expensive on Batuu.
A lot of credits.
Boy. It's like
they
when
ask
you...
him for they ask him for money, and he's like, "What? Oh, I only have credits."
Yeah, I heard the first attraction at the Galaxy's Edge though is they take you, turn you upside down, and empty all the change from your pockets.
As long as I get the merch, as long as I get all the merch, I'm fine with that. They can do that.
I have not been to. I've only been to Disney World once, and I've never been to any other Disney attraction. I was also 7 years old at the time, so it's been a minute. I haven't been to a theme park like a Disney theme park in like literally like decades. So I know that now they have. I think it's part of like the way they do fast passes. You have like wristbands that are RFID and stuff. Like I wouldn't be shocked if they literally like do a very simple like either 1-to-1 or 10-to-1 conversion rate between like U.S. dollars and credits.
Oh,
and then they price everything in credits, and you just you know what it actually costs.
Oh, it'll happen. You're right on, Sam. That's pretty much what I think they've alluded to the fact they're doing that.
That's awesome.
Invest in that Bitcoin.
I actually I just got an email. From
It
says Billy McFarlane at StarWars.tv. Billy McFarlane says that I should load up my Galaxy's Edge wristband with at least $3,000 for credits.
I don't know if the rest of you have seen the Fire Festival documentary, but I think
whoever
Ryan and I have.
Know that landed. That joke landed for the people who saw
good.
The Fire
Festival. I enjoyed it, Ryan.
That's Thank pretty good.
We so, are we're not even through. I have to.
I know.
We're not
sorry.
Even through well, part one of seven of the information of the Galaxy's Edge. But
right,
Chris,
we'll
go ahead. On. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Hondo was in the Clone Wars. Is this true or false?
Yes. And in
okay,
Rebels.
So there you go. I think you've got two generations of Star Wars fans that could maybe accurately. If you've got parents, I'm sure they've done the research on their demos. But if you've got people that have grown up with Clone Wars. They could be in child ages. No, I guess that probably wouldn't work out. I'm doing the math live on air. Here we go. But you basically have two generations of Star Wars fans covered there. And for us, we missed those boats a little bit. But if you grew up during the time of the Clone Wars, you're going to be introduced to Hondo and then again in Rebels. So, and then all the new children in Rebels. So it kind of reinforces it for the old fans.
Look,
and then
you know,
new fans.
For those who
are
wondering how Chris's math would work out, the answer ended up being 2.
No, I'm saying for the old fans, it reinforces it because he's back again, right? So now we've seen these characters
right.
twice. And then now you have this new generation of children, maybe like 9-year-olds, watching Rebels that now have Hondo.
Chris,
everybody's
I don't understand.
Hondo, baby.
I don't understand
just,
why they're not catering
saying.
To anybody who experienced Star Wars for the first time in the 90s. Because to
right,
me,
right.
that's the audience you should cater to.
Why well, aren't they talking yeah. to me?
But yeah. that is kind of that audience, though. It's like if you were 7 or 8 when the prequels
math.
Came out, and all of a sudden now you're like 10, 11 when Clone Wars comes out. So you're watching those. It's a little more of the adultish teenager kind of cartoon. There you go. You've now have had the full Hondo experience. You are a late 90s Star Wars fan.
You've had the full Hondo experience. But
you're like
rounding it out.
Do you know what I mean though? Like you are embedded. Like he's just a mainstay character at that point. But for us, we just don't have that experience.
I think the other reason just to jump on like so I think Chris I think that's a good point. That's kind of like what I was what I was trying to like
it might be a good
with the idea of like
the
with, the, with the idea
ever.
Of like like young like the idea of like oh it's a family place where you're bringing you know younger fans who probably have watched the animated series. But the other reason I think that you would go with someone like Hondo is because they're not a Han Solo or a Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Like you want to leave they're trying to leave certain things sacred and untouchable, and like they don't mm-hmm. want to have you know
Yeah,
look, I got
you know Poe or Finn or Rey.
But that's
like,
why you go with Admiral Akbar.
Well, that's pretty good.
I think they already had an Admiral Akbar,
but Akbar's
animatronic, didn't they?
But isn't he?
Akbar's no longer with us.
He's done
that's
so.
True.
He's
done
gone,
so. He can't be in there.
Yeah.
All right. Let me finish up here on Smuggler's Run. Right. I was kidding about it being a 3-part episode, but I actually think it might have to be the way things are going so far.
We'll stop with the tangent.
Part of the line as you're in Smuggler's Run is that you make your way onto the Falcon, and you are in a waiting area that is like the main section of the Falcon, where the Jajarik table is, the computers, the training droid. You just get to hang out there, which to me, that alone is worth waiting in line for. I don't even need the ride after that to just get a chance to hang out in the Falcon.
It's the best part of the original movie. Like it cements the pacing of the original movie that like you have that. That was one of the big things that like you know people talked about a lot after Force Awakens with like the sort of shot out of a cannon pacing of that movie. That it's like the original Star Wars gave you downtime. It gave you time, and it all took place like all the downtime in that original movie. Like once the event started, sort of after the very beginning, it was like your breaths that you got to take during that movie all happened in that sort of communal room on the Falcon. You know, that was where you had your downbeat. You know, after they lost Obi-Wan, that's where you learned that Alderaan was destroyed. It was like that's like a, I don't know, it's potentially like a hallowed place. You know, that's where we've processed a lot of the bigger events and news in Star Wars canon.
It's where we lost L3. You know, right up there with all the other things you just mentioned.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Wow. All right. That was a little bit of a moment to let me move on to the next bit. I appreciate it, guys.
Which
I
one was... of you moof milkers bypass the compressor?
As you had to have a chance to get to the compressors, you move your way into the cockpit. You're split up into two pilots, two gunners, two engineers. So obviously we know what the pilots and the gunners do. The engineers are working on repairing the ship. And we've talked about before, you go on a mission for Hondo. What happens to you on that mission ends up resulting in how much you earn from Hondo, which could be credits, like we talked about, that could be converted into dollars or whatever you would be able to spend in some of the different antiquities dealers around Batu and Blackspire Outpost. So all of that can play into your larger story in the land. That is Smuggler's Run, at least the information we know so far. It seems to me, I don't know how you would not want to be one of the pilots, even though the gunner and the engineer could be fun. They have tried to make it sound like anyone in any of those roles will have a great time, but I got to be honest, I want to be in the pilot seat. I want to be grabbing and actually putting the hyperspeed on, so I'm not quite sure
how anybody
doesn't want to be the pilot.
I want my brother to yell down the tunnel saying, "Great shot, kid. That was one in a million."
I don't know. I'll do the I guess I'd be down to be an engineer and be like Scotty from Star Wars.
All right. Just so we're clear, when we're all there, that's what Sam just called.
Yep, we're marking it down now.
All right.
I cannot give her any more power. I'm giving her all she's got.
How many people total are taking part in like each go?
Six people in each cockpit. So there will be multiple cockpits, even though Disney has not announced that there are.
Gotcha.
Because obviously you have to have multiple ones or it will be the line will already be long, but it would be even more insane. So you
gotcha.
Have
so it's going to be the four of us.
And
one of
randos.
Our wives who draws the short straw, and then some unlucky person who has to watch four grown men sob while trying to record a podcast on their phone during the ride.
That sounds like my favorite episode, to be honest. I would listen to that over
That's
and over again.
So
fairly
beautiful.
Accurate.
It's so good.
Oh, man, did you know if you could hit this, this does this?
Well, apparently every button and switch does work in the cockpit. What that means, I don't know what it will show you, but all of the switches are supposed to actually work. So that's another interesting tidbit from being in the Falcon.
First thing to do, whichever one they say, whatever you do, don't touch this, hit
it press that
right
first.
Away.
Hit the red button.
It shuts down the theme park. They're like, we were serious.
Well, speaking of Ryan's emotions, we know that when you enter the hangar of a Star Destroyer, like you will in Rise of the Resistance, that we're all going to lose Ryan. We might need to catch him as he falls to the floor. There's a few more details that came out about this. This is where we found out that Rey, Daisy Ridley will be back, John Boyega will be back, and Oscar Isaac as Poe all will be a part of Rise of Resistance alongside Kylo Ren. While you wait in a very long line, there's rumors that it could be a line of up to 10 hours, unless you have a fast pass, which, God, I hope that's not an accurate estimate.
10 hours?
Potentially. I don't know if that's accurate.
Are they at least going to like show the prequels?
Throughout the entire time.
I mean, I can't imagine it'd be 10 hours, but that's...
I wouldn't think so as well. I felt like that was a bit of an overestimate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
While you wait, there will be things revealed throughout.
Why would they even release that information?
Yeah. You don't want to deter anybody. But we talked about how you kind of make your way from Batuu onto a transport. You're then sucked into a tractor beam. You end up on a Star Destroyer. Then you're put into a detention cell. All of that is part of the waiting in line. So it may not be 10 hours, but if it's a long line, you still get to experience a lot while you're waiting. And in that, you will turn a corner and see Poe's one-to-one X-Wing. That will be part of the line as you make your way through Rise of the Resistance.
Hmm. So once I come to, that's about 2 more hours. Gotcha. Okay.
Then Nian Nub flies you off the planet to the Star Destroyer where you're brought in. You get into the hangar. It's the size of a high school gym. 50 to 100 animatronic stormtroopers, 50 to 100 stormtroopers with a few of them that are animatronic. And then you're thrown into a detention cell where Kylo Ren then meets you, voiced, of course, by Adam Driver.
You're telling me Nian Nub's still around?
You know he's also still around.
Do we
Chris,
see him?
Chris, I know that you're not allowed near a high school, but a high school gym is generally like the size of like a football field.
And just so for the record, let's clear the record. That's just because I eat school lunches at a rate that is alarming to most.
I would say this would be the perfect transition for me to talk about Star Wars food, ooh, but we're not there yet.
Oh.
We could be.
I really think the flow of this podcast is fantastic. It's one of the best.
It's 4-star.
So the
I'm
last
putting
bits,
this in my SNL submission reel.
Yeah, right. This is in my packet. You hear that?
Last
Lord?
Bits of the Rise of the Resistance. You're in a trackless car. You make your way through the AT-ATs, as we talked about. It was rumored that they would actually fire lasers. That has been confirmed. How that works, no one knows.
Oh, God.
Finn helps you escape from the Star Destroyer, and you make your way back to landing on the planet of Batuu after entire experience.
I cannot wait for the viral YouTube video where Finn is actually there helping you escape.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, Boyega's right. Going to have you're so right. much fun going there. He's going to be there for sure. I do wonder, like, what do you get paid if you're an actor? If you're Adam Driver, what do you get paid for the voice work on this?
It's already and part like, of your overall deal for the 3 movies, I bet.
Probably, yeah. But, like, you know, he's got an agent, too, who's like, hey, if he's doing this work, like, what's his back end? Like, there's got to be some residual, which
tight.
Is already going to be massive for the movies, but like a theme park also, like, that's crazy. What a good career move, getting in a Star War, you know.
Everyone should do it.
We should.
I'm
all,
thinking about it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about signing up.
Make a few calls.
All right, I got some new information for you now. This is stuff that we have not heard rumored. Let's talk about the food. We'll also talk about merchandise. We'll talk about the Disney Play app and how that's going to offer a little bit more in the land. But, Chris, you're going to get a chance to have some blue milk and some green milk.
That's
they are all
I want.
Plant-based dairy and kind of like a slushy because the temperatures are going to be pretty warm in Florida and California, so you're not going to want to have milk.
I got to tell you, I've been looking at this food and drink options for ever since this stuff came out. I want this stuff so bad. It looks so good.
It's a good thing that it's not real dairy, because then the line for the bathroom would be 10 hours.
We already got Chris to agree to a green milk gallon challenge.
I really want the fried Andorian tip yip.
Wow, yeah, exactly. That is what we call a chicken. Yep. That's what they've named it. There's a lot of interesting names for references to creatures that I don't even recall. But
I want one of the things that Jabba grabs out of the jar, you know, shoves in his mouth,
squirms around in your hand.
Yeah, I want one of those.
I would and like I there to be a Tholosiren there so I can actually drink green milk from the source. I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
Mike, we're trying not to get the explicit rating.
Hey, Rian Johnson can put it in his movie. I can put it on the pod.
It's natural, Ryan.
So the names of the places that you can get something to eat are Ronto Roasters, which is a pod racer engine that cooks your meal.
Oh, I am very into that idea. That is so great. Like,
oh, I hope, like,
living in a big city and being a street meat enthusiast, that just feels right.
But I hope it's like halfway while you're sitting through the restaurant, like, oh boy, we're cooking up some meat. And then the announcer, Greg Proops, is doing the announcing. And then they fire at one of the tip yips and he goes, that's gotta hurt.
Here comes another tip yip. Order number 791. 791, that is coming around the corner. I mean, pick it up at the line.
That alien should still be alive. He should be directing everything.
He's in resistance.
I know. Like, he should be directing everything. That would be great.
Do you mean like the movies?
Like directing the films?
the alien with two heads, the alien with two heads should be in charge of Star Wars. The character should be directing everything.
Chris, what do you think a director's role is?
No, he should be the Hondo role. We got to get Greg Proops back.
Sam, you were actually kind of spot on, though, with Ronto Roasters. That is going to be all meat. The Pod Racer engine is that one is only going to be a meat stand. So that's pretty much what you get when you go there. Docking
only
Bay
gonna be a meat
7.
Stand. How many times have I heard that?
Docking Bay 7 is going to be another place that you can eat, as well as Oga's Cantina. The Imagineers spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Star Wars tastes like, because you have no sense of that from watching the movies. One thing I know we're all going to be very excited about is that Oga's Cantina will serve Moof Juice.
Oh, Chris, there you go.
That's all I wanted.
Wait, it's
didn't you say that already?
They're serving Moof Juice, not Moof Milk?
Milk?
That doesn't
no,
make
Moof
sense.
Juice.
Oh, man, which Wait. One of you Moof Juicers fried that tip yip?
I think that that's a...
I really think that's funny, Chris. That tickled me.
Which one of you Moof Juicers? Yeah, that is that just an error on their part, the same way that Han Solo said he's like, I'm a flyer?
I think this is a miscalculation on their part.
Yeah.
Because if we've been talking about Moof Milk this whole time, what's the juice? And if the juice is what you drink, then what's the milk they've been talking about?
I guess it makes sense that so a Moof Milker, you get the juice. So a Moof Milker is just somebody that gets the juice.
Exactly. Yeah, I love milking oranges to get the juice out.
Little Moof's got to come from somewhere.
I don't know.
Other drinks are going to be called the Carbon Freeze. There's a Fuzzy Tauntaun.
Okay, wait.
I find that in bad taste. That's in
the
bad taste.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Carbon Freeze seems like it's breaking the fourth wall a little bit, right?
Well... Carbon is used. It to just like freeze things to.
They just made that machine on one planet. The whole galaxy knows about this.
No, but carbon is used throughout the whole planet.
Yeah, carbon the whole freezing world, is galaxy. Like it's. It sounds like it's a shipping system. That's
yeah.
Not...
Lando's also. I mean, he's a commercial guy. If they made it, if it was a Bespin only thing, he's definitely licensing that out to any sort of drink manufacturer.
And that brings me to my hot and fresh. Hot and fresh.
Chris,
what's Vader doing Chris, while they eat? Well, they're
I'm
on
not
Bespin.
Even 30% of the way through on this galaxy. Says,
what
so.
Is Vader doing while they eat? He goes, please stay. I hope you will join us for dinner.
Watch out. Chris behind the wheel, everybody. Chris has wrested the reins of this pod straight out of Mike's hands. But let's address this. This did actually strike me as a very good question. How does he eat? When and how?
We don't know. I've never seen him eat. We've seen him with his mask off once. I imagine the suit is providing nutrients. But I feel like he was just kind of sitting there during that dinner. And then it was very awkward.
Well, how much of him is powered by... He needs to, like, feed his brain. But how much of him is... How much of him is man? How much is machine? Isn't that the question? Isn't that what this whole series
is
exploring?
Yeah, does he eat or does he plug in?
I don't know. He's more machine now than man. This has been... Hot and fresh. Back to you, Mike. Sorry.
Well, if Darth Vader could eat, he'd love to have himself some smoked Cadu ribs or Endorian tip-yip, like you said, Chris. Those are all things you can eat at Galaxy's Edge that Darth Vader cannot. But you could get a fuzzy tauntaun, a Bespin fizz, a yub nub, an outer rim, or a bloody rancor, which comes with an edible bone on top.
Wow.
I will.
Okay.
I do not think be that a yub nub is ever.
A yub nub is definitely breaking a fourth wall, I think.
No.
There will also be beers and wines, and I think this might pique the interest of Chris because there will be a Bad Motivator IPA brewed specifically for Galaxy's Edge.
Ooh,
do you think there will be
like
a thing
that
with the waiters where you can order a special edition where you send back what you got and get the thing that you actually wanted to order?
Is that a an intergalactic pale ale, Mike?
Ah! Yeah. That's I like that a lot.
I think that's great. I'm curious to see. I mean, it's not going to have, I don't know. We talked about it before. Is the alcohol thing, is that a big deal? Is that going to really shift the experience? I'm curious, because again, I mean, last time I was at one of these things, I was seven.
If I'm in line for 10 hours, it's shifting the experience.
Yeah, I think it's going to make it a lot more fun.
I think I told this story before, having a drink or two before Secret Cinema, where you are doing the same kind of thing, it loosened me up. It made me have a little bit more fun. I got a little bit more, I let my guard down and just played along.
I'm going to be having a few drinks probably during Secret Cinema.
I'm not even going to remember Galaxy's Edge.
You're just going to wake up with some Andorian tip-yup on your shirt. And be like,
I'm going to wake up next to...
We're going
I'm going to wake up next to an Andorian tip you.
Galaxy's Edge for the bachelor party.
Oh my god, I can't believe I ate a whole tip you.
All right, let me run through the merch real quick. There's a lot of good
Hondo's
stuff here.
Animatronic.
You will be able to have the chance to build your own lightsaber. This will take about 15 to 20 minutes. You build from parts that have been collected from throughout the galaxy. They've been waiting for a force-wielding hero to come along and build the lightsaber. And, of course, that hero is you alongside 14 other people at the same time.
And whatever kids I demolish.
This is like one of the greatest elements of the... I read all the Harry Potter books, and I really, really loved them, but I never became the like diehard Harry Potter fan that is out there. But I have to imagine this is... like what people felt when they announced, like, for the experiences of like getting your wand and like having the sorting hat tell you your house. Like it's like the idea that this is such a fundamental part of becoming a Jedi that we've all known about. We all remember like the first time we saw the green lightsaber and then like dove into, for me, it was like, I feel like I learned it in the course of like this collecting Star Wars cards in the 90s, where I was like, oh, Luke made that lightsaber. That was his like whole project. He had to do it. You know, it's like, this is incredible. This is so exciting.
There will be also like some heft to it. It's not going to feel plastic. It's going to feel like you built something real. I mean, it's probably going to cost $100-$150 to do it. It's not going to be cheap.
Credits.
But you're going to come away with something that you probably want to put on your... Yeah, credits.
Credits.
Yeah. Oh, if we're talking credits, that's fine.
You got a lot of credits lying around already.
Jeez, I hope they let me bring this on the transport back home.
We've talked often on this podcast about Dock on Dar, and we can't wait for that podcast to resume. Dock on Dar will be an animatronic Ithorian. He will have so many, I guess, motions and things programmed into him that if you spent all day in his shop, you would not see a similar mannerism or movement from that animatronic.
I could spend the day with a real person. Like, why would I want that?
I'm Dock on Dar, and I never do the same thing twice. Marty!
The cool thing, though, this is where they're going to sell other iconic lightsabers from the saga. So not only am I going to fork down $100, $150 for my own personal lightsaber, I will be buying Luke's lightsaber. Maybe I'll buy Obi-Wan's lightsaber for another $50 to $70 that you'll get in Dock on Dar's shop.
Oh, wait. I think I missed that. So you can buy existing ones? Like,
yes,
replica?
You can buy existing replica ones. That will, again, be better than plastic. They're going to be a little bit nicer.
Oh, man. This is getting to be an expensive trip.
Yes. And it's only going to get more expensive, Sam, because we haven't even talked about jackets yet.
Yeah. I've been looking. They haven't released a ton of, at least from what I saw, like photos of what anything. I mean, I'm sure they're trying to like save some of the real reveals, but like they did have a few. They showed some of the like Jedi robes and stuff that you'd be able to purchase, which again, I think the same way you were just describing the lightsabers, look a little bit higher quality than the sort of standard costume shop. I'm sure there are some real, you know, diehard cosplayers out there who have stuff that's superior, a little more movie accurate, but this looks like a really sort of high quality, but, you know, like consumer model, not, you know, that's not necessarily fully custom, but oh man, the idea of like a pilot's jacket. I'm looking for Luke's gold jacket. I'm looking for Han's, you know, Empire jacket. Not the Hoth jacket, the flight jacket that he wears throughout the rest of the movie, the Bespin jacket. Yeah, I just like the idea, like dress me up like a pilot of anything, and I'm gonna feel way better about who I look like.
Sam, I think the good thing, if it's not there when it first opens, Disney has said that if there is enough demand for certain items, they will find a way to make them available. So all you have to do is go there, what, 20 times a year and demand a Han Solo jacket?
Every single time, be like, oh, and I'll have the Han Solo jacket. Oh, you guys don't make it? Oh, I'd buy it. And I'd buy 10 of them for my friends.
Oh, the elaborate, they're like, oh, you look like this other guy who requested it, but you have a mustache.
I'd like the metal Leia bikini in men's sizes, please.
Actually, though, there were a lot of images, though, of what the Disney cast members will be wearing. A wide variety that is meant to be look like you're on a planet that maybe doesn't have the temperature of what you would find in Southern California as well as Florida. So it's, I guess, breathable. There's a lot of jackets. There's some hats. There's a lot of inspiration. First Order outfits as well, which you could buy a First Order uniform if you wanted to. But the great thing for the Disney cast members is that they can build their own story and background for their character within the world. They're encouraged to do that, with the exception of saying something like, I'm Han Solo's second cousin. But you can't do that.
This is actually
one of the most exciting things that I picked up on when the sort of visit reports came out, which was like, I love the idea. You know, the number one thing that's going to make our experience as audience members, as park goers, you know, fun and happy and feel real is like the people we have to interact with, the direct connection we're making. And so the fact that this is, you know, this park is going to have, it's going to empower the employees and the park workers, and hopefully that elevates the sort of applicant pool, which already I'm sure is super competitive, but like just to people who are, you know, who are creative and who really want to like entertain and dive into the Star Wars universe and create really compelling, interesting stories and characters. Like, it feels like they're going for almost more of a like reenactor type personality as opposed to, you know, just a like, you know, a summer job for some kid, or like a lookalike, you know, costume thing for you know, an actor who needs a gig. It's like something that people can actually sink their teeth into, get creative with, which I think like that empowers them, gives them these performers like an investment in the world that they're creating, like for all of us, which is like so exciting. I think this might be the biggest thing that makes this world feel unique to, like, I don't know, again, I'm the guy who went to a theme park 25 years ago, so, you know, what do I know, but I'm really excited about this.
I'm with you, Sam. I think that you're absolutely right. It's like they give them a little bit of agency, and I think that's gonna like really build the world out, whereas like you go see the Indiana Jones thing, is that still going to be around? But like, he's so far away, and like it's like a staged experience. You don't, you leave that and you're like, oh, okay.
Chris, what would your backstory be?
Hmm? Oh, I'd be a smuggler that would lead the show, and I'd be made out of it. and I'd have a second head.
Wait, no one say anything else, because it's a long time before episode 9, and that's an episode. I'm just saying.
Oh. That we
speaking
were,
of, speaking
that
of
we
episodes,
write our characters.
Yep.
If we could,
yeah.
Well, yes. If we could actually somehow get Disney to allow us to be a cast member for a day and do a podcast episode that was from a cast member's perspective, that'd be a good episode.
What if we're the local Batuu radio station?
Oh, we would fit into the in-world experience. That is without a doubt.
We could get to know literally everyone.
All right, a few other things in the merch area. There is a Toydarian toy maker named Zabaka. All of the toys are sequel-focused, sequel trilogy-focused, so you've got dolls that are made to look like the one that Jin had in Rogue One. There's a Kylo, a Daisy, Rey, a Finn, Chewbacca, Stormtrooper, as well as Yoda. None of them from the original trilogy, so again, it's more about that timeline. There is also playable instruments that look like the instruments from the Jizz Band. And then, of course, there's also a creature stall where you can buy Porgs, Wampas, Tauntauns, and Chris. Yes, you can even buy Wrath-Tars.
They're hauling Wrath-Tars?
As many as you can buy.
It's dangerous. Very dangerous.
There will also be a droid depot where you can build your own droids. They'll be about a third of the size of the real thing, but you can put all combinations together, color combinations, an astromech or a BB unit, and build out your droids that you want to then take with you home or throughout the rest of the park. Last thing that I have from the news is there's a Disney Play app that you can use on your phone while you're at the park. It will offer different missions, games, side stories that can lead you to new experiences, help you and help you earn a reputation throughout the park, which could be leaning towards the light side or the dark side or your resistance or your first order. And of course, it'll encourage you to look around and explore, not so you're not really burying your head in the phone, but it's another way for you to get even more out of your experience at Galaxy's Edge. And with that, I've finally exhausted all the things that I made you all listen to about the news from Galaxy's Edge.
Woo!
Way to go, Mike.
It's very exciting, stuff.
It's super exciting. No, I think it's all great stuff, Mike. Thank you for running that down for us.
Yes, sir.
I love that you can build perhaps the droid you're looking for.
We should each build a unique droid for ourselves, shouldn't we?
Do you think they could build us?
That would be fun. How
a Chris head with a Mike body and Sam legs, Ryan arms.
I have droids, Greg. Can you build me? I don't even know what that means. All right.
I like the idea of like picking up one of the instruments and like if I'm just like envisioning like how fun it would be if you had. Like if you had a music shop or a music school or something, and so you had like, you know, your guitars on the wall, violins, you know, saxophones, all that, and then just like one random Star Wars instrument like display.
One semicircle keyboard.
So, yeah, so that people are like, well, what's that? I haven't seen one of those before.
That's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the pod. We have one more thing we're going to get to. We're not forgetting you, Ryan. We know we have a big announcement from you before the end of this podcast.
Let's hear it.
I do want to say, though, again, if you're looking for more information, that was a lot of info we already provided, but there's more details on StarWars.com about Galaxy's Edge, Jermaine Lucier on IO9, Entertainment Weekly, a lot of different coverage if you want to read more. Hopefully this didn't spoil what experience you would have, but this is a lot of fun that we can anticipate in likely June in Disneyland. And Disney World, late fall, early December, brings us to, though, the long-anticipated moment we've all been waiting for, sure to rock through the Star Wars galaxy more than anything else we've said on any of these podcasts, Ryan's announcement.
Well, boys here, and boys and girls out there, and everybody out there, the droids are entering a new medium. That's right. After years of teasing this in one way or another, I, Ryan, from the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, will be streaming KOTOR on Twitch.
Ooh.
Yes! Provided I can get it modded correctly and figure out how to broadcast onto Twitch, I will be setting up times that I will be doing a full playthrough of KOTOR, and if that goes well, KOTOR 2.
feels like this big announcement sort of come after you made sure you could do it.
You know, fortune favors the bold, you know, and I'm confident in our abilities to make this happen for our audience. I know that I've started KOTOR at least 3 times since the pod has started, but this time's going to be the time.
Is it having an audience is going to keep you going? Otherwise, just
well, I don't think there's really going to be an audience, but being on the internet is really going to...
Look, our millions of download subscribers, they're going to recognize us when we're in Galaxy's Edge. They're all going to tune in, Ryan.
That's true. There's been a lot of pressure. So I will be streaming BioWare's classic RPG.
Can't wait.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Can't wait.
I'm excited,
this
man.
This is event TV. That's what this is.
Yeah, I'll also be renting out paid programming time on NBC, so you could probably watch it at about 3 in the morning on a Tuesday. And you know what? I'm excited to jump in. I think it's time.
I love it.
And I'm excited to jump in Ryan, to KOTOR.
You need to plug the pod every 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I'd say. You know, make sure that you get a mention in.
Yeah, I was thinking 2:30. We'll sure I was definitely either, thinking 2:30. Yeah.
We'll make sure. What I do need to decide is the beginning of that game is a little slow, so I might kind of do that on my own just to kind of get it primed up. And then once the story really starts, kind of start streaming. So, you know, we might jump in a few hours in. But we will be posting on our social media when these things will be happening, and then we'll be banking them so that you can watch them if you can't watch the live stream.
I'm excited. I do feel like I remember some friends playing the KOTOR games like when they came out and really loving them. And one of the things that – so I don't know if I'm on record on the pod, but I'm on record with the group as being someone who really struggles with the RPG format. Like, I have tried so many Final Fantasy games and games of that ilk that just, like, it's not something that I ever stick with. It doesn't hold me, but I've always lamented the fact that, like, I wasn't into the game format because I felt like I was missing out on what sounded like a great story and a great like corner of the Star Wars universe that I have never gotten to experience, because they built this sort of part of the galaxy out for these games, and they weren't games that ultimately like really appeal to me. So if there's anybody out there like me, it's a great opportunity, I think, to like, because I know, Ryan, like you play a lot of video games and you like these types of games. Like, you do really well in these. So
one of my favorite things in this world is inventory management in a digital format.
So and if that doesn't entice you, listener, what's gonna, you know?
If you want to watch me go through my items list, decide what member of my party I'm transferring a piece of armor to, then tune in to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast plays KOTOR.
Can you name anybody who's in your party? I know you can't change their names, but while you're doing your Twitch, can you make sure that everyone knows that that person represents someone on the pod?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
I can't wait for this.
This is perfect. This is gold.
Well, this is a great tease. Great way to end up this pod. Thanks for joining us, hanging with us throughout all this conversation. We'll be back next week, and who knows? There might be even more news about Celebration, maybe a title or the opening date of Galaxy's Edge. It could all happen. That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Repair what they grow beyond.
Annie?
You boys want to go to medieval times?
Hey, yo, Chewbacca.
Millennial Falcon. Oh, that's a bad phrase.
Chris, shouldn't you start to say, you boys want to go to Galaxy's Edge?